God. Gods and goddesses. To begin, the word God with a capital G must first be distinguished from the lowercase god, which is male, and goddess, which is female. Sex is an attribute of a body, not of mind, intellect, soul, or anything of higher order. Although we associate certain qualities with maleness and others with femaleness, people and animals of either sex may exhibit all of those qualities. Psychological traits and even soul characteristics do not have a sex. A soul may feel more comfortable in a physical body of one sex or the other when it takes on a form, but the soul itself does not have a sex. Only physical bodies and etheric bodies, which are seen by some people, have a sex. The etheric body is sometimes called the etheric double because it is an exact replica of the physical body and interpenetrates it. It disintegrates soon after the physical body dies. Thoughts on the mental plane can also appear as male, female, or neither. They are thoughts. We might call these forms mental bodies, but creatures on the mental plane have the ability to appear with a sex or without, and to change and transform. This is the nature of the mental plane. Mentally, we can create any type of thought we want. When we create a thought strongly enough, especially if many people create the same thought, it can become visible to some people, and it can also have real physical effects on the physical plane. This is both a strength and a weakness of humanity. A weakness because it can be exploited if we are not aware and vigilant about what thoughts we think. Humans have been manipulated into creating wars, poverty, rulers, and systems that benefit a few and hurt many. Instruction, advertising, and overt and subliminal messages in film, music, images, and words stimulate our collective thought. Created beings with souls also exist in the mental plane. Many of them originated there. Although most people do not see these beings, thousands do, and it is possible for people to be reliably trained to see them. They have a right to be there, just as we have a right to be where we are. The terms God and Goddess refer to a form, either a physical body or an etheric body, or a being with a form in the mental plane. These forms can change easier and faster than our physical forms change. A god or goddess is a being that is more powerful than we are, or more powerful than we think we are, who is able to solve a problem we don't know how to solve. During most of humanity's recorded history, people worshipped multiple gods and goddesses. These gods competed with one another for human attention and sacrifices, as well as for status. The various deities of Hindu, Tibetan, Polynesian, Egyptian, Aztec, Inca, Norse, Greek, Roman, and Native American civilizations are gods and goddesses. Each has specific powers, requires specific sacrifices, has specific personalities, proclivities, and preferences, and makes agreements with one another and with humans. The Old Testament refers to numerous gods and to the special one who shall become the God of the Israelites. This God is Yahweh or Yehovah in Hebrew and Maria in Aramaic. This God is one of many that existed. He adopted the Israelites, making a covenant, a contract. He pledged to take care of them as long as they obeyed his rules, including performing genital mutilation of male babies. He requires ritual worship and sacrifices of animals. He resides in a special housing called the Ark of the Covenant. He is described as jealous and vengeful. This is a male god with more power than ordinary humans. He judges and punishes with absolute authority. Occasionally, he killed people for little reason. He wants human beings to worship him and him exclusively. There are many inspired interpretations of Bible passages, and some may be accurate, but all interpretations, including the literal, are speculative since the authors are unavailable to answer questions. All gods and goddesses have forms, qualities, and human-like personalities. They may need or want something from humans and give us boons in exchange. They are sometimes capricious, arrogant, or vengeful. They do harm when provoked. Humans need to fear them and avoid irritating them. When writing in English about any of the gods or goddesses of the Old Testament or other cultures, people often capitalize the word or name and use male or female pronouns, he, she, his, hers. The use of capitals is intended to designate what is beyond human and sometimes superiority of the designated deity over others in the opinion of the writer. Rather than using capitals to designate what is above our human level in some way, but is not at the highest level of the divine, capitals are also used when referring to what is absolutely divine. In the present writings, God with a capital G, truth with a capital T, love with a capital L, goodness with a capital G, creator, one thing, and even nature, in an expanded sense, refer to what is fully divine, not to any form with specific qualities and not others. Note that divine truth, love, or nature sometimes feels good and sometimes doesn't. Some people think that God is someone who gives us whatever we want. This is a risky belief because it presupposes that God would give us something that is harmful to us if we think we want it, or that we know all the effects of whatever we want. Furthermore, if we don't get something we want, we must either blame ourselves for being unworthy, abandon our belief and find another way to get what we want, or be in a permanent state of confusion. One man who was raised Christian described why he became an atheist. He understood God to be a powerful being who controls his followers and makes sure they obey his laws. Clearly, religious followers do not always behave morally or obey their own laws or teachings. Obviously, a God like that does not exist. The question of whether God exists is thus a question of definition. What does one mean by the term God? What is God as distinct from a god or goddess? What definition of God makes sense and is useful?